Blog Talk Radio.
That my parents used to listen to and my aunt. And this version is sung by James and Bobby Purify. They were an R&B singing duo. I had no idea that a handful of people did it, and I had to keep listening to them until I found the one that, like, they used to play. So, of course, because it makes me think of all of them, it's my favorite version of the song. It's one of their two biggest hits, and it was big in 1966, and it reached number six in the U.S. Billboard's Hot 100 chart, in re-recorded versions, and number 12 in the U.K. in 1976. Although I'm Your Puppet was their biggest hit, they had several further successes on both the Billboard and the Hot 100 R&B charts in the U.S., in the late 1960s. So I hope you enjoyed that little tap dance from the golden oldies, they call them. I used to laugh when my dad actually listened to a station that, called themselves the golden oldies. And we would be driving back and forth on the shore, and he would always have the oldies station on. And my mom would always clean and, do housework and stuff to the oldies. So, of course, you get used to it. So now I clean to it, and my kids would hear the oldies come on and run. But now stay clean to it. So go figure. Tradition starts in the strangest of places. I think that tonight should be rather interesting because I put tons of puppets on the board, and the poets had to choose a puppet, and they had to choose word banks, and they had to choose crayons, and then they had to apply it all to a quote, which at least half of the quotes that were available were lyrics from the song we just listened to, and then the other ones were quotes that I found, you know, on a site of quotes about puppets, and I chose a few of those to add to it. I was going to babble just a little bit more, but let me open the line so that people know I know they're here, such as the dynamic duo, who I feel like I just left your show. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hello,
dear.
Hello. I went to see what's coming up next, and I realized that I was on a roll the other day, and I've written for your shows all the way up to, what was it, Sillage or something? So, like, I'm a days ahead over at A Poetic Slice. So, and right behind Kay and Stephen from A Poetic Slice is my Monday dear, Linda, also known as Liquid Damage. Welcome to the show, doll. Glad you're here.
Hi, Deb. Glad to be here.
And, of course,
hey, everybody.
My big brother and my friend and my co-host, Jay Hatter. Hey, Hatter.
I'm sitting back here doing the heavy lifting so you can sit up there and look pretty.
Oh, cool. Oh. It's about time you do some of that damn heavy lifting.
I know.
And like, hey, before we get into this show, Stephen, how about that singing for you last night? Were you still up the second time?
You were snoring the second time, but I was still listening.
Oh, you sang again?
I was asleep by then.
No problem. It was just, I said to him, how about if we give Stephen one more chorus just in case he's still awake and how he broke out with the song, Put Your Head on My Shoulder. So that was like, we had some great Led Zeppelin and we had some Bedtime Lullabies by Jay Hatter. What's better than that? So let's see here. I am going to head to the board, and I'm going to grab Stephen's poem this time and let him go first. And now, Stephen, you called this one something. Is this a scene from a movie that I haven't seen?
That's Negan from The Walking Dead.
Ah, okay. Well, that explains that because I've never seen that. Oh, and I do want to point out that I suppose it was after you dozed off last night, but I did notice that your better half was quoting a movie or two on the board. So looks like she was, you know, you were rubbing off on her because you are the king of movie quotes. So I thought that was really cute. All right. Now, I also see that this one says, I've got 10s. Stephen, you're rapidly approaching 100 tens. That's fantastic. You're already at 89. Holy cow. That's awesome. Yeah. Wow. Okay, well, how about if you show us what's in this 10?
Yeah, like I said, that picture is of Negan from The Walking Dead. And actually, the what do you call those things that the lawyers are hooked to from marionettes that he's holding in his hands?
Mm-hmm.
But those are made from bats, it looks like the bat carries in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of cool, and that's why the picture spoke to me. And I call it, There Are Worse Monsters Than the Dead. Strings made out of barbed wire ash, marionettes created from fear, dressed in leather and bronze accessories, lean back a bit and sneer. Undead on the outside, held by chain-link rust. High school coach does command, so now in him we trust. Torso chewing, crimson mouth mob grows, our eggshell paling heads. Wrecking ball sends shrapnel out, cluster and splinters shred. The dead are dead for real now. Bodies rot purple, opal, and green. Sure-footed leader juggling survival mode and doing it with cool sheen. Cobalt mood deep down in gut. Under his thumb, we are oppressed. Are the real monsters now in chunks? Or is it our chief so sharply dressed? And poem.
Awesome. Wow. I love your use of the colors and the word bank. From the very first line here, strings made out of barbed wire ash. It's funny because the poem I wrote tonight, it was a picture that nobody else saw. I just saved it. And the butterflies are hooked to the barbed wire line. So I think it's awesome that you started out with the barbed wire. Marionettes created from fear, dressed in leather and bronze accessories, lean back a bit and sneer. There's such a creepiness to that. The imagery gives you goosebumps thinking about them leaning back and sneering, like, you know, it's hard enough sometimes if they're creepy to look at them, but if they make a sound, I'm history, just saying. So I thought that was really, really cool. And so perfectly put together that you forget that it's a word bank, which everybody's getting to be such a pro at. I'm glad you are liking them, because sometimes I worry that you are going to get tired of having a word bank and stuff, so I've been trying to spread that, like the birds. It's a free-for-all. Just tell me something about that bird, you know, next week. But everyone's been doing a fantastic job with them. And I like your closing stanza as well. Cobalt moon deep down in gut under his thumb. We are oppressed. Are the real monsters now in chunks? Or is it our chief so sharply dressed? The real monsters in chunks. Ew. So, like, and I had no clue who he is because, like I said, I never saw the show, so... taking him and who he is out of the equation worked for me because this is absolutely awesome. Oh, and I looked, too. There's no fancy word or anything. They're just called control bars, the X's that hold the strings.
Okay.
Yeah,
this is where I got the first line from, too, because in the show he carries the bat that's wrapped in barbed wire. So ash is the wood that bats are made out of, and the barbed wire.
Ah, okay. I just assumed ash was like either the color or barbed wire ash, like it sort of had burned. So very clever. Very, very clever. I like that you made it a story. I like that you made it creepy and freaky. And torso chewing, crimson mouth lobbed grew. Torso chewing. Now there's an image that you know, I'm glad I'm only hearing and not totally seeing, but I'm sort of picturing in my head. It's like, you know, gross because, you know, even though I've never seen The Walking Dead, which that's zombies, right? I have seen zombie movies in the past, so I'm picturing all them, you said about them sneering, leaning back and sneering, and in my mind I'm hearing brains. So, you know, creepy, creepy guy. Let me get you some comments. Hutter, what did you think?
Yeah, I liked it. Very descriptive. At one point, I could feel the anxiety that I go through with word banks. When you're down to trying to in the poem, you go, oh, what are all these colors and stuff? So the way to do it is bodies up, purple, over all green. Same thing I do, math it all in one. Get it done. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
Word banks drive me crazy sometimes. It does.
Yeah, but I'm always thrilled when you try them, Hatter. And before I get the next comment. I know. Before I get the next comment, let's say hello to the Queen of Canada. Hello, sis.
Hello. How are
Hi,
you?
Hi, Andrea.
Hey, Linda.
Glad you're here.
Is tonight the night?
Tonight. She's been holding on to this poem for 2 weeks now. First time she ever wrote that far in advance, as far as I remember.
Yeah.
But it
better be good.
Sometimes it's tough to wait to read them. And then if you feel warm breath on your neck, that's because Wayne Jent's right behind you. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi, Wayne.
How y'all doing? Nice to hear you.
Hello,
Wayne.
Good. Glad you're here. I'm getting some comments for Stephen's poem, so let's see what Linda thought.
Wow, Stephen, that was really cool. I looked at that prompt and I was thinking about picking it because I love the character Negan, but you did a really, really great job at defining that prompt. The first verse. Strings made out of barbed wire ash, marionettes created from fear, dressed in leather and bronze accessories, lean back, abat and sneer. That is just perfectly Negan in his good, bright self. But I love the darkness of this. It kind of echoed fright, and it really surrounded me. And filled me with fear. I mean, you did a really good job at doing that. So I really liked it. Great job, Stephen.
Thank you, Linda. I'm glad somebody got Negan's signature move out of that line.
Awesome comment. And Lady A or Wayne, did either of you hear the poem?
No, I didn't.
I'm not sure when you...
I didn't.
Okay,
I didn't see the poem yet.
Okay, no problem. I don't know why, but it doesn't do the countdown anymore. And then when you pick the person up, it says hold time zero. So I never know how long somebody was there. And if I, just a heads up, if I were to not get to you real fast, it's not intentional. Okay, let me see here. How about if I get comment for Stephen from Kay while I put her poem on the board?
Well, I like what you did here because, as you said, and the puppet master is the strings at play. It's definitely, and that's the voice to the prompt, bringing in of Negan because, yeah, he's dark. But yeah, we're doing some in our own way. So, yeah, you definitely brought it just right.
Thanks.
Okay. I wasn't sure if I had words, and then I had something happen, and then I was like, oh, and then I was done in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. I call this dressed to perform poison's a kill shot. Beam-headed, bone splicing, footed juggling, walking on rusted, stilted legs of crimsoned onyx, fishnet and splinters of fingertips dance. Climb the badge, bronze and copper flecks upon paper, mildewed in ornamental fragments, scale the mountain of topaz deformity, stout, cannibalize, soldier one before a final breath, tap, tap, Morse code, hello, silky threading of legs extension, marionette amputee on the left if pulled too hard, sectional, hexagonal, gestational shudderings of reckoned sycamore wood, planking below. Feet, grasp and land, fallen, slipping, pull the strings, suckling, gasping cryptic, upturn, upside down, and fiddle tickling the strings, tap, tap, shuffle the legs, see no ground catcher, bodice torso of perfection, tap, tap, she whispers, let me go, as purple plumage of acid rain particles the rot. End poem.
Wow. Wow. I couldn't wait. After you said that little laugh that you had when it hit you, I was like, uh-oh, because there was something in your laugh, so I wasn't sure where you were going to go. I really love the title, Dressed to Perform Poisons the Kill Shot. Wicked title. But let me see. Ornamental fragment, mildewed in ornamental fragments. That's pretty vivid because you can think of the, how mildew has a way of blackening things, but, the climbing is definitely ornamental, but usually when you think of ornamental, you think of something like, you know, pretty on the Christmas tree, not mildew on fragments. So I say this all the time, but you pair and come up with phrases and metaphors that nobody else does, which is such an awesome thing. Your abstract brain is like so filled with interesting and clever ways to combine these words. And then on top of it, once you're finished reading, you have a thought or two because you were pulled into certain phrases and stuff. But then when you go back for clarification, you get something else out of some of the other lines. So you have poems that you have to read like two or three times, because if you don't, you're going to miss stuff because there's always so much in-depth information twisted in there. So, like, I always recommend people at least read them twice, because you'll be surprised the kind of stuff that after you get past the wow and then go back for some more, you get something different every single time. I like feet grasping land, falling, slipping, pull the strings, suckling, gasping, cryptic. It was like, it's heartbreaking there. You want to do something, and then by the time you got to tap, tap, shuffle the legs through no ground to catch her bodiced torso of perfection. That's a great phrase, bodiced torso of perfection. So, like, you look at her, and she looks like she's all prim and proper and ready to go to church or to the luncheon after something, but instead you get tap, tap, shuffle through no ground to catch her. So it's like tap, tap, she whispers, let me go, as purple plumage of acid rain particles the rot, which ties us back to that mildew that was growing on the ornaments. So it's like a vicious circle of fabulous imagery and fantastic metaphors. Awesome piece. And I was going to call Wayne. He dropped. Hatter, what did you think?
I got it wrong. I was listening. I thought maybe the tap tap was when she was being constructed from an amputee to she was getting either her leg or such. Maybe I read it wrong. It was the other way, like you said.
It's always interpretation.
Well, sure. Sure. I just, it changes things. Yeah.
Well, no, I'll just say it definitely is something like that. Last week was really nice out. When I wrote this, I was outside, and I saw something, and I told Stephen, and I had to tell him about that, and I was like, oh, my God, I've got words. I was outside, and I saw an ant carrying the head of another ant, where he was walking and he had two heads, and that's where this was birthed from.
Whoa.
Okay, I've realized that we draw inspiration from the damnedest things, but that's pretty freaky, Kay. You see an ant carrying an ant's head and come up with something like this. Man, oh man. I think that's way cool. Love it. I'm sorry, Hatter, were you done? I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just, it blew me away that she was inspired by ants. Yes?
I just said Frank Antstein. Yeah, Frank Antstein.
Yeah, okay. how about you, Linda? What did you think?
Well, I thought that was superb, Kay. And I agree with Deb about some poems need to be read two or three times to pick up those sweet nuances that are buried within the lines. And your stuff is some of that stuff that you want to really grasp what's buried in between there. And so I did read it a couple of times, and I just thought the imagery was so full of color and direction, and I love your style. It kind of makes us want to think a bit, but this was like a lovely story of getting away to be solid. You know, that's what I got from it, growing up, growing to be solid. But I think you did a really good job on this, Kay. Good, great job.
Mm-hmm. Kay, how to write on the board, no head left behind. Oh, boy. And I don't know what happened to Wayne. I hope he calls back because I was going to put his palm up next in case he had a headache. Maybe the damn headache beat me. It's a bummer. Okay, so let me see. How about if we have Stephen tell us about the next show? I'm pretty sure there's not one tomorrow, right? Because I went looking to see if I had already written and didn't find tomorrow's date.
Right, yeah, there's nothing tomorrow.
And it's a one-word prompt, July, I believe it's pronounced. The French word, the wake.
Or the waves that a boat makes as it's cutting through the water.
And that's at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
I had fun with that one. I think I put a couple of the different, like the vapors from a plane and the scent of perfume in the air. So that's a clever idea. I'm looking forward to seeing what the next word will be. And all right, so I guess we will talk to you guys tomorrow when we showcase Frank. Because I know I think that you needed to get a snack and then head to bed so that you can get up at the crack of dawn and start your day.
Before the dawn, I got to go. Yes.
I hate getting up before. Now, I'm not a morning person as it is, but if the sun's not even up yet, I don't even want to hear about it. That's not morning. That's still nighttime. So more power to you, Stephen. But two amazing poems, you guys. Appreciate you very much. And I am going to grab another poem since I don't see Wayne and take it from there. And if you need to hang up now, that's cool. If you want to stay and comment on one, that's cool too. Whatever works. But again, appreciate you both. Let me see what's next because my plan just changed. Let me push Wayne's back here in case he calls back because I would love to do my Wayne interpretation, but I'd much rather hear him read. So I'm going to grab Hatter's poem and put that on the board and make him read for us because I'm interested to see what he did with his word bank. Okay, now. And he picked a picture a long time ago. He says, oh, I want the purple hair and the shoelaces. So I'm like, what? I forgot about her. So anyway, here is Hatter's poem. So Hatter, take us away.
Oh, boy. Okay. For lack of a title, a purple puppet with long lace boots. That's it. Goes like this. A purple puppet with long lace boots collects the rust from candlewood roots. The springs have sprung with no winding key, old fingertips broken from sycamore trees, bronze-like statues with crimson stains, ornamental flowers in the purple rain. Upon the breeze to hide away, ask me please for one more day to hold you close to feel my heart before the time it falls apart. I wish you to know just how I feel. You'll find in these words so suddenly real. How can I know that you will find these words I write and now lay you behind? I'm just a toy like a boy that makes you laugh when you are blue. Don't break this bad like I never had. Everything I love I found in you.
Aww. Aww, what a way to end it. And I like that you not just wrote to a quote, but sort of incorporated it into the poem a bit, which was really cool, and that's towards the bottom. I'm just a toy, just a boy that makes you laugh when you are... Oh, it is? Okay, it is the quote. Still,
the whole thing. Yeah.
I think it's cool that you threaded it in there. And back further, a purple puppet with long lace boots collects the rust from candlewood roots. The sprigs have sprung with no winding key or rope. Oh, boy. Bad boy, bad boy. What you gonna do?
Sorry. Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
Really, I don't know who they're coming for, but it better not be you. No, this is really awesome. I like how you use the word bank. I like how your signature lyrical flow is in there, and I like that the quote is in there, and of course, with the closing couplet, you had to squeeze out the marshmallow puppet as well, so it's like a really excellent piece. Great stuff, Hatter. I'm really glad you
Thank
wrote
you,
the
Pam.
Word back. Let me see here. Let me get comments from Stephen and Kay before they go. So, Kay, you want to go first?
Well, yeah, you know, it's definitely an excellent thread in of the prompts itself. But, yeah, I do like how you speak about when you brought in the one quote, I'm just a toy, just a boy that makes you laugh when you are blue. But the end, and everything I love I found in you. That's very sweetly the close. You brought in the word bank and you brought a tale of love. When I saw the prompt, I only went dark. So I think it's cool that for the people that brought love, I think that's really cool. It's a beautiful close, and
Thank
it's
you.
A wonderful day.
Thank you so much.
Awesome comment. And Stephen, please.
Yeah, you know, first off, I have to say that the reason the cops were chasing Wayne, that's what we found out. They found out about his rib shack, and they were after him.
Yeah.
That's what I'm not. But anyway. Anyway, I was expecting all the word bank to be in one line. You told me that.
Yeah,
that's what you did.
I
was
waiting for you. No, I did that before.
But no, yeah, this is really. I always like your cadence and rhyme, and it never fails to amaze me how well you're able to put your poetry together, like you do, and especially to be able to fit the quote in and keep that rhythm going that you do. This is just awesome.
Cool. Thanks, Stevie.
Yep.
Fantastic comment. And yeah, right. Enjoy your snack and sweet dreams. Lady A, what's your comment?
Well, I just think it was beautiful. I love all of it. I think my comment was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful love. It just really is a gorgeous piece. And like Deb said, your signature rhyme it's always impeccable. And I love reading your stuff. It's just a song in my ears all the time, and this is just beautiful.
Thank you, Lady A.
Awesome.
Welcome.
Comment. And Linda, what did you think of Hatter's poem?
Well, I thought it was a very beautiful love story, like she was your little doll, and the word bank really flowed in this piece with great imagery, very colorful, but you have such a total allure at the end of this piece that it makes you get tears in your eyes. And I hope that you find your puppet doll and you live happily ever after. But this was really a beautiful piece. Thank you for sharing it, Patter.
That's sweet. Thank you.
Oh, awesome comment. And I keep checking just in case Wayne calls back, and he has not. Okay, so I rarely bring a poem to my own show, but I've been sitting on this photo that I wanted to write to and didn't and kept holding it. So I actually built a whole puppet show just so that I could read, and it would force me to write to this puppet. So I'm going to actually read a poem this time. And it's called Color Me Broken as He Yanks My Strings.
Oh.
Here we go. And you know, it's a bummer because you can't really tell, but all the strings are barbed wire, and at the end of each barbed wire is a black butterfly. So the picture was just, you know, I had to have it, but the details aren't showing as well as I'd hoped. Anyway, color me broken as you yank my strings. Here we go. Clouds shroud the tangerine hue, blocking sun rays from the view. A cobalt velvet sky stains to gray, camouflaging periwinkle today. Black blankets, the night display. Shadows hide glow in hazel eyes. No topaz stars freckle in the skies. From the plaza, the puppeteer grins. Braided wire twine yanks as it spins. Fingers flip, tugging the commands, weaving motions from his hands. Bone and skin rips from wax. Cedar splinters as plaster cracks. Two opal spotlights shine white. This cheerleader waits tonight. Green eyes spill salted shrapnel, just leaving trails with every pull. Crimson lipstick marks the smile, painted on with a glossed style. Dressed with striped accessories on eggshell skin carved up trees. The barbed wire strings dangle with the butterflies in the tangle as the flapping wings mangle. Then, in the copper-tinted sunrise, she and every lace butterfly dies. End poem.
Aww.
Barbed wire strings. Mrs. Nemesis, what did you think?
They had to go. You got...
Oh, they're gone.
Yeah, you got Linda and you got Lady A.
Okay. Linda, what did you think?
Deb, that was dark. And in the when I saw that picture, I thought that was spiders hanging from the end of the barbed wire. So I didn't touch it. But you worked the word bank nicely into that piece. And you work this piece nicely into the imagery, which shows a gravely broken heart. I thought you did a fantastic job writing this, putting the word bank into this so smoothly. And your imagery was quite dark, but colorful at the same time. And I just love what you did with this. Good job.
Thank you so much. How to, before you get Lady A to comment, let's say hi to Frank.
Hi, Frank.
Hello there, my friend.
Hello, Frank.
Hello there. Hello there, my friend. Good to be on.
Lady A, you want to come in?
Well, I thought it was excellent. I couldn't find it in the room, so I just listened to it. But is it posted in the room?
Yeah, it is.
I couldn't follow along with it, but I loved it, and it was very dark, and the title is similar to mine, and Color Me Broken. I thought that this was an excellently written piece, and green eyes spill salted shrapnel, just leaving trails with every pull. Very sad, you know. Each line starts out with a great image and description, but then falls into the darkness. And then the last couplet was just unbelievable. Then in the copper-tinted sunrise, she and every lace butterfly dies. Wow, excellent piece.
Yeah. Good comment. Yeah, I like the way you escaped from the traditional rhyme structure to the three line. The barbed wire strings dangle, the butterflies entangle as all the flapping wings mangle, and then right out of it, got away with it.
Yeah.
Does it trip? Does it slow it down? That's a good effect. Nicely done, Frank. Were you able to follow along on this poem, or did you hear?
Well, I'm just I just finished reading. I didn't hear the poem,
okay.
Unfortunately, but I did comment and I did read. I do agree with what Lady A says. This piece was just it was dark and haunting, but I agree with what you said. The rhyming, above all, the rhyming is impeccable in this piece. Yeah, this is what is so so enthralling about this piece here that the way you just brought in the wordplay there of the word bank, and of course the usage of the rhyming scheme, it was impeccable. I just thought this piece was even more appreciative in that regard, just the effort, the work you put into this piece here. I thought it was magnificent, as it usually is. When she writes, she brings always her deep thoughts, her effort, her creativity, all of these wonderful things that we possess as poets and poetesses. And this piece was just darkly delicious, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Deb's got a great way of storytelling. It follows a line and a lineage. Yeah, very good.
Thank you, everyone.
You're welcome.
All righty. Now, let's see what. I don't know how long Sky has, so I'm going to grab her link in case she has to go to bed. And then we will do Linda's after I do Sky's. So, she was amazing enough to add a sound clip for us. So let me get this up there so we can follow along. And there it is. Okay. Now, do you guys see Sky's poll?
Yes.
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 Beautiful.
Bare Feet and Melancholy Roots by Sky Darkham. I saw a cloud of silver-leaf jasper overhead, a dark-webbed wheel of sycamore branches, turning phantom spokes like fingers in smog. And as each end of day crawled inside me like ticks of darkness that might choke, I saw the glints of string tied to bones, bare feet and melancholy roots. Still, I siphoned from weathered wells, filled with purple jewels of shrapnel and rust, dressed up plaster walls peeling with lines of crimson copper, the bloodletting of youth. And as thin bands of onyx curled calligraphy into the autumn woods of my pages, where lettered leaves like stippling wisps enriched a command of death and coffin beds, I learned I am merely a marionette of time, an accessory of its poise and poison, an ornament of her design. She, with her black frills and thick roots, heels dug in, dancing all the while, with worlds at her fingertips, bronze suns of polished orange topaz and sunset. And I can only crumble as strings are cut, fold into the grave of soil where bare feet and melancholy roots have learned to write. End poem.
Wow. Okay. I was so excited because I'm used to getting the IOUs, and when I saw Sky on the board, she said, I have it, and I wrote to all the things. I was like, woohoo! I couldn't wait to see what she did with this one. And I was already wrapped up back in the first stanza with turning phantom spokes like fingers in smog. Oh, my goodness. Phantom spokes like fingers in smog. I love that one. I saw the glints of string tied to bones, bare feet and melancholy roots. Feet or the string tied to bones. It made me wonder if it was like those were, are they bones in her hand, and that's what she's holding as the control bar. And it would melancholy roots, melancholy, perfect. I learned I am merely a marionette of time, an accessory of its poise and poison, an ornament of her design, and that's just so sad. It's like the trophy wife, but in poison puppeteer terms. So that was really, really cool. And oh, with words at her fingertips, bronze suns of polished orange topaz and sunset. So, like, I love the use of the crayons there. And I know I'm stealing all the lines. I'm sorry. But the closing here, these last two, into the grave of soil where bare feet and melancholy roots have learned to write. The grave of soil. Man, oh, man. So it's like walking over someone's grave barefooted. There's so many pieces of this. And this is another one where I think after the show I'll go back and read again, because there's a depth here, and I feel like there's also an underlined message there of sadness and pain and ache. So like, I'm going to definitely read this one again. Brilliant piece, Sky. Going to have to hold on to this darkness. Let me get you some comments. Let me start with Hatter, please.
Yeah, I really like this. If you look at the picture, it's almost like, if you blow it up a little bit, it's almost like the puppet is controlling her. But if you look at the blood stain to the left of her, that was the puppet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so much in this. Yeah.
Awesome comment. And Frank, what did you think?
So this was just I was just amazed by this piece here. This was very skillful writing here. I mean, I'm used to seeing a lot of this type of poetry from Sky, but this one here was an exception in the regard that there was a delicate nature to this piece. It was haunting, dark, yet it was eloquent. I was just completely enamored with just her creativity and her way of the way she used the word bank, but above all, just the way that she structured this poem. It is to be revered and regarded as a very elaborate type of writing. I really appreciate it. I really enjoyed this piece.
Awesome comment. And Lady A, please.
You know what? This is beyond anything that I've ever read of yours, and I love all of your stuff. Absolutely brilliant. I'm so impressed by your ability to put words together as you do, using such wonderful descriptions. And it's very moving. It's a dark piece, but it's so very moving, and every line jumps out at me the way you've written it. Right? The second verse, it says, and as each end of day crawled inside me, I don't know where you can come up with this kind of stuff that's so brilliant. That, like kicks of darkness that might choke, I saw the glints of string tied bones. You know, just the whole thing is just brilliantly written. And, you know, and as thin bands of onyx curled calligraphy into the autumn woods of my pages. Oh, I'm so impressed. This is just beyond brilliant. I love it. Wonderful piece.
Unmuted.
Great comment. And sorry about that. I was speaking to the mute button. Thank you, Hatter. Linda, will you please comment for Sky and then read your poem for us?
Sure. I thought it was a really strong style, Sky. You really brought it tonight. It was a very distinguished dark ride, and I think it was generally a perfect ride. I really loved it, and I think you really know that how to bring out that dark emotion to whatever you're writing. It was brilliant. I can't tell you what lines or verses I like the best. It was a great nightmare. Thanks, Sky.
Yeah.
And it, yours is on
the note. Okay, I went a little different direction with mine. So, and I apologize, it's a little on the long side. But give me puppets and string, and I'm your Huckleberry. So it goes like this. It's called the Heart of Gold. A puppet of bisque and cornflower eyes and a suit made of purple and red came from a box of sycamore wood of things most forgotten and dead. Her clothes had a wrinkle and some fingertips broke, but she was the thing to behold. Her shoes were handmade out of bronze with inlay and it held a key onto a key made of gold. This key of gold was a magical gift, but needed a lock of its kind. It was given to her by the magical ones for a lock of true love she would find. She had a smile like none that you've seen, one that was so full of vim. Her hair was made of crimson red yarn, and her name was simply just Pim. Now Pim took a deep breath as they opened the box, then slowly let it seep out. She blinked her eyes 3 or 4 times, releasing most of her doubt. Then Pim heard the most beautiful sound coming from across the room. A marionette like an ornament sat, composing a soft, gentle tune. Pim was enamored by the marionette, even though he was stuffed unlike she. And his khakis looked very dapper as such, they only went down to his knees. "Hey, what's your name?" called the marionette. "Mine is Marion Pierre. I live to play music on my keyboard of sounds and please anyone who may care. I'll be your sweet Huckleberry and listen to your magical tunes. I so love your sweet melodies, I'll be here each day around noon." Now Marion on his side wore a velvety bag, one cut out for a boy. And he was tall, he smelled like fresh cypress cut with an, and was an expensive toy. While Pim at one time was also of worth, but the years have now tagged her quite old. The one thing now that keeps her of worth was the key round her neck made of gold. But at night when the toys were all put away, Marion was placed in his bed. And Pim, well, she always went into the box that was labeled most forgotten and dead. The child that owned them was snooty and only would play with the best, but Pim's gold key was a godsend and kept her alive with the rest. Now this went on for a very long time, but neither the two meant to be. So for years they just met from across the room and Pim held on to her key. But this one fine day it did happen. The child got tired of them. That's when things got real crazy. She put Marion Pierre next to Pim. They sat there and they talked for a minute till Marion showed Pim what he had. He secretly showed her the treasure inside of his velvety bag. At first, Pim was excited. She grasped at what she just saw. She tried to keep her composure, so she sat there in total awe. Pim looked at Marion with tears in her eyes and asked if she could just see, for he had a lock deep in his bag that's been looking for the right key. You see, Pim searched around all her life for a lock, one that would fit her gold key, but alas, neither lock nor treasure chest found had a lock that would be opened by thee. So slowly they tried the key and the lock, but alas, it just wouldn't fit. Then a tear fell from Pim's cheek to the lock and washed away rust from it. Then Marion slipped Pim's key in the lock, and at last it fit like a glove. This, in return, only meant that Pim had found her true love. "I'm just a boy, I'm just a toy, just a funny boy that brings out your laugh when you're blue. And now that I've found my lock fits your key, I want you to know I love you," in poem.
Aww.
Aww. You outdid yourself there. Wow. Your story poems are always awesome, but like this is. Wait a minute. Did you look at all those word bank words? Wow. It looks like you used more than you had. Is that true?
No, I don't.
No?
No, I don't think I might have used a word or two, but no, mostly just the word bank that I chose.
And aside from the poem, I have to laugh just a little bit because sometimes, like, Hatter is not the biggest fan of word banks, so he tries to use them all right away. That way he can just go on his merry way with the rest of the poem. And it looks like you did, too, like you were packing them in there so that you could just run with it after that, you know. And I have to say I love that you put the Huckleberry in there. You had me picturing Val Kilmer as Doc Holliday just right there.
No, I do that. That's my husband's line. I do that in tribute to him.
Oh, I don't think I know anybody that uses it. That's really cool.
Oh, he says it all the time. Yeah.
I'm your Huckleberry. Well, the first time I ever heard the expression was on Tombstone, and to know that somebody actually uses it in practical life, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Really awesome. She had a smile like none that you've seen, one that was so full of vim. Her hair was made of crimson red yarn, and her name was simply just Pim. I mean, you are always so in-depth with your stories, and the details keep us enthralled in what's coming next and where you might take it. I'll be your sweet Huckleberry and listen to your magical tunes. I so love your sweet melodies. I'll be here each day around noon. Awesome rhyme, awesome story, amazing use of the word bank. And, you know, the way you read and pull us in, it didn't feel like it was overly long. It was, I don't see where you could have cut anything out. It's just, and you're a very strong reader, so you just knocked it out of the park. Another
Thank
fabulous
you, Deb.
Story poem. I'm in awe. Hatter.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, the rhyme and the flow through this is spot on. Not easily done. I noticed your rhyming word well was nicely chosen. Nothing, there was no trips through it, no snags. It read really well. I was most impressed.
Thank you.
Very, very well done. And nice storyline, too.
Thank you, Hatter.
Awesome comment. And how about a comment from Lady A, please?
Well, I thought this was a really terrific write, and I love the cadence that you bring all the time with your pieces. And it was whimsical. It was a little bit dark. It was a little bit sad. It was full of promise at the end. And I was just noticing in your author's notes that you said sorry about all the words. Just couldn't stop till it was done. Please, 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 don't ever apologize for how long or short your poem is, because it is what you make it, and you make it a wonderful story for us to read along with you and enjoy. So I just loved it.
Thank you, Lady A.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And before I get a comment from Frank, here's what I was thinking. It just so happens that the poems that are left are boy enough to do boy, girl, as far as the voices. And what I was hoping is that Frank, I know you have your own too, but if you would comment for Linda and then read Wayne's for me, and then we'll do Lady A's and then yours, and then we'll have like three left, but we can do them all boy, girl. So if you don't mind, comment for Linda, and I'll go get
it. No, Linda, by all means. First of all, I am impressed by this piece here, and the fact I admire the creativity expressed here. The way you, I mean, to me, it didn't seem lengthy as what Deb, I'll reiterate that as well. It didn't seem that. The way you carried this piece here was in a graceful manner. Although the piece had a tincture of a haunting nature, a little bit of sadness included. You had a whole array of elements of emotions here. I just loved the storyline. You're a brilliant storyteller here. The narrative here, the one brought here was very very graceful in the sense the way you carried the poem, the structure of the piece here. I just found this, I was just completely impressed by the fact that you were able to write all of this and to carry on in such a mellifluous tone, I would say. This piece here was a very, very, I would say this was, it's very elegant, very elegant. I found this piece very elegant. To me, this piece here had a storyline here just enthralled me here.
Well, thank you so much, Frank. That was awesome.
Oh, you're welcome, my dear.
Great comments, everyone. Fantastic poetry. And Wayne's is on the board, so please, Frank.
All right. Just bear with me here. All right. This is a piece here by Wayne Gent. It's called Puppet on a String. And he says it's a sonnet here, so it goes like this. I'll be wonderful. Do just what I'm told. I'll do anything for you till I'm sold. But I'm not the one with the fingertips. The words you hear do not come from my lips. I'm an ornament doing a dance. Extra braided hair looks good at a glance. Made with wood and plastic from another rust. With dimples and laughing, you should not trust. Boss has cobalt eyes and a bronze top hat. In a purple hue, wears name tag with Matt. Dance on sycamore floor while he just sat. Your crimson outfit looked a little fat. Made him some green. I'm his marinade. My cheeks are all poor. Never get sweaty in the pump.
Great read. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wayne also incorporated part of the song into his poem, which was really cool. I'll be wonderful. Do just what I'm told. I'll do anything for you. And then till I'm sold. That kind of made me giggle because that's not part of the line, but it just goes perfect there. Down in the stanza, he's made with wood and plastic. I'll never rust with dimples and laughing. You should not trust. And that made me think of a creepy doll with a look on her face, like, you know, if you only knew. And I don't know, there was just something about that that was just so creepy. And then on the closing, make him some green. I'm his marionette. My cheeks are opal. Never get sweaty. I think that the thought of just making him money, you know, is sad. And I remember that when he asked for this poem, he had thought that it was Santa Claus, and then he got a better look, realized it was a clown. And for this one, I waited to see who would take it and how they would go with it, because there are a lot of people that are really creeped out by dolls, some that are really creeped out by clowns. So this was like a chance for the combination of the two, you know, the creepy doll, the creepy puppet master, the clown, all rolled into one. I think that he did really great with the word bank. I think that it's cool that he started out with the parts of the song. I wish the damn headaches would go away so that we would get to spend more time with him, but I appreciate the amazing poem and you for reading it, Frank. Would you like to comment? Oh, hold on one second. Sweet! Yes! Welcome to the show, hon. Glad you're here.
Hi. Thank you.
Okay. Frank, please comment for me.
Yes, I thought that I like the... Oh, I'm sorry. I like the way Wayne used the prompt, and of course his usage of a sonnet. I thought the style was very befitting for this piece here. And I did enjoy the dark and somber tone of this piece. That last line the last line written there was very, very reminiscent of what is the truth there and what goes on in our society as well. So I thought there's a measure of wisdom there in that last line.
Awesome comment. And what do you think, Hatter?
Yeah, you know, the last stanza. Just go ahead and say Marinetti. We all would know what it meant. It's a word that would fit it. It would end it more smoothly. I miss Marinetti. My cheeks are hopeful and never get sweaty. That's the only thing I could add to it.
Okay. Yeah, I guess if he read it, he probably would. Yeah, that's very clever. That was a brilliant thought, huh? Damn. Linda, what
make
did
up
you
words.
Think?
Well, I thought it was really well done. I can see the very colorful imagery, and it brings out the calamity of the puppet's life. You know, it was kind of a sad story of him being in the thralls of his puppet master. But here, he almost brought this puppet to life. Leashed his strings that bind him, and it was really a fantastic write from a very gifted poet. Wayne is getting better and better every fucking week. Sorry, every week. My bad. But I'm really appreciating his work, and I really love this piece. Thanks, Wayne. Sorry, couldn't be here.
Me too. Awesome comment. And
I'm sorry, Deb. I didn't mean that.
I know. It happens now and then. I appreciate the apology, though. Sweet.
Yes. I love you. Yes, I want to comment on Wayne. I love it. I love how he talks about the boss with the eyes and the hat, and his name is Matt. How he dances on the sycamore floor and his outfit and all of those wonderful things. I think he did a wonderful job at the details and how he wants everybody to make sure he knows he's not the one talking. These may not be his opinions. I thought that was great. So I think he did a really great job at the prompt and just, you know, putting a personalization on the puppet and, you know, making sure everybody knows that he's not in control, that he's not the boss. I thought that was really great.
Awesome comment. And Lady A, but if you comment and then read your poem.
Oh, can I? I have to agree with Linda. I think that Wayne has really changed his writing skills and has grown by leaps and bounds. And I thought this was really, really well written. And he seems to be, I don't want to say a more serious writer, but I think he's allowed himself to bloom and let loose the person that he is inside. And it's evident in his writing, and I quite enjoyed this.
Awesome comment. Thank you, everyone. And thank you, Wayne. We missed you. But thank you for the poem. And Lady A, take it away.
Okay, so this has been a long time coming. And I think it was Mondays ago that I tried, and I realized it wasn't for that Monday or last Monday. So I'm very, very happy to be able to share with you this poem called Broken. And it goes like this. I love the picture. I am like a broken puppet whose eyes have fallen inside, a plaster marionette moving on command, fingertips, bone exposed, dressed in onyx black robe, an ornament hung from nooses, destined to die. Pyre of sycamore wood, crimson flames lick a purple sky, my heart now rust with chambers, copper and bronze. Fire reflects in my eyes, now topaz, like gems falling inside, accessories of pain, like shrapnel in my veins. From rope-strung noose, crimson blood flows loose, bayonets await my fall, chambers of my heart are mauled, purple fingertips and toes, exsanguinated purple lips. Pretty puppet ponders death, peacefully perishing, perhaps. time for change. Stop the fight. Tired of struggle called life. Cut the strings to this marionette. This way I can forget. Worst things in life endured. Some just never can be cured. My heart is wood, body worn. My eyes dead, fallen inside. And peace.
Wow. I have to say that the tone in your voice and the change in inflections as you read brought an extra layer of emotion to the poem. now, I also think that you... Did my phone just die?
Nope,
I hear
you. Oh, okay. I also think that you put more work into this because if I remember, it was two stanzas. I never read it, but I saw it when I transferred it to the thing. So I'm kind of glad that you had to sit on this and you went back because, wow, the details, the word bank, the emotion, it's like, Mike, just from the very first line, I am like a broken puppet whose eyes have fallen inside. And you take us all the way back to there at the end. My heart is wood, body worn, my eyes dead, fallen inside. So, like, excuse me, it was really cool to get to see what you did with yours because I wrote to that same quote. And then for us to both have the word broken in our title, it was just like there was a couple minor similarities, but enough that, you know, it made me think, wow, it's funny where just one line of a quote might send a person. And although you usually go for like a blonde, this picture here was absolutely awesome, and I was interested to see what you would do with it. And I think you did great. A pyre of sycamore wood, crimson flames lick a purple sky. My heart now rusts with chambers, copper and bronze. Fire reflects in my eyes, now topaz, like gems falling inside. And that repeat of the falling inside or fallen inside, it has a haunting layer to it. So there's a lot of depth and stuff to this one. Brilliant work, dear heart.
Thank you so much.
Patter, what you think? Hey, and well worth the wait, by the way.
I think you did well to the picture props. I like the nooses around the wrists. Everything's anticipated through the piece. My heart now rusts with chambers, copper and bronze, fire reflects in my eyes. Now topaz, like gems falling inside. Is that part of the quote? Falling inside?
Yes.
The quote is,
I am like a broken puppet whose eyes have fallen inside.
Very well done.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Awesome comment. And Linda, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was really dark and foreboding. Feeling like a puppet is a common thing, and you embraced this in this piece about how we get ourselves trapped, and we feel like we're bound by strings or ropes, and we're not in control of our movements. That, you know, we're being controlled by an outside source, you know, an evil one. And, you know, this is a perfect example of explaining that. But this last verse, time for change, stop the fight, tired of struggle called life, cut the strings to this marionette, this way I can't forget. Worst things in life endured, some just never can be cured. My heart is wood, body worn, my eyes dead, fallen inside. That is a very excellent description of feeling like you're not being controlled by yourself. But I thought you did a really tremendous job on this. You got it right this time, Lady A. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Awesome comment. Emma Sweet.
How do you wipe away a wooden tear without the pain of a splinter? And that is what I got out of this, the depth of your emotion, the feeling, it's like being blown away by the poem while you're getting kicked in the gut. I thought this was wonderful and just a personification of an extension of whatever you were feeling at the moment that you wrote it. And I just like I said, it's that's what I thought when you were reading this, is how could I wipe away a wooden tear without getting the pain of a splinter? And that's how I feel.
Thank you, please.
Cool.
Awesome comment. Wow. And okay. Frank, will you comment for Lady A and then read your poem for us? And then after you, we have Phil's recording and then Angel's poem.
All right. First of all, I thought these, there were some powerful lines here expressed in this piece here. I love the somber tone expressed in the voice, cadence of your voice. Poem, I thought that it was an excellent choice of a word bank here. But I too have to say that last stanza for me was very indicative of the moral of this piece here. I do agree, we get to a point where we feel that we've gotten to that point where we will endure only as much as our body allows us and our mind. And we do feel at times like a marionette to them. You regard that we can only take as many licks and wounds that our body provides. All right, it was a great piece there, Lydia.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I wrote here for this piece here. I called this piece here Valeria, and it goes like this. Grey, bony hands, crimson fingertip, nails commanded by the devious puppet master, controls sadistically every movement performed by the hopeless soul in the sad marionette destined to the gloom of a dreaded silhouette. She dangles on the black strings of awe like a hollow sycamore wood, slowly dying then above the psychotic blue reveler of immense terror, dressed with the sullenness of her beady onyx eyes, with fluffed purple sleeves, like an ornament of display. Sounds of her silent screams are drowned in the plaster copper wall of the rust of shrapnel and fall into the bronze bloodstain from the floor. No abundant accessories, no glamour to conceal this matinee madness, devoid of her once bright topaz eyes and soft red lipstick, now the haunting shadow of a pretty woman who sold her only soul to the sly devil of the sinister puppet master as a horrid marionette in his theatrical show. Her name was Valeria. We were all puppets in the hands of fate. Seldom see the strings. In the poem.
Awesome. And you know, your laugh goes quite well with the prompt quote that you chose. Those lines couldn't have set you up for that laugh more better, I think. And back here, I could pick any. She dangles on the black strings of horror. The black strings of horror, that's brilliant. Like a hollow sycamore wood, slowly dying, then the psychotic blue reveler of immense terror,
dressed with sullenness, and her beady onyx eyes with fluff purple sleeves like an ornament of display. It's an absolutely brilliant use of the word bank, and the story's awesome, and the creepy factor's there. And like I said, I can't. The quote you chose was absolutely perfect to wrap it up with, like that bow on the package or the cherry on top that leads us into the laughter. And only because I could hear her laughter of delight, I'm going to let Linda comment first because I know she's chomping at the bit over there. This was fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Frank,
thank you very much, my dear.
You know I love your work, but I saw this awesome piece of work, lovely poet. You once again have mustered up the fear and the awe. Hang on. That makes your work so delightfully sinister, and you are sinister. Great imagery, very dark, but colorful at the same time. I'm very, very impressed how you did work the word bank into your piece. You did a really great job at that. So all I can say is this is a lovely piece of work, Frank.
Oh, I thank you very much, my dear. I did appreciate it.
I did
appreciate that.
That was
I'm
awesome.
Sure one of you
and
say,
Hatter, what did you think?
You get me every time.
Oh. I'll send you a playback next time.
I think it was brilliantly done to describe the marionette and give us the vision of the strings, and then to end it the way you did. We seldom see the strings. We are all puppets in the hands of fate. That was well done. I like that, how you ended that. Very nice.
Well, I appreciate that, my friend.
Awesome comment, and Lady A. Sis, are you muted?
Unmuted.
Did I scare her off?
It did drop. Okay. Well, how about we get a comment from Sweet while I grab her poll?
Unmuted.
Are you muted?
Yes, I am muted.
Maybe it was
I'm
her
talking
dog.
Brilliantly.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I had to mute my dog. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I love the dark imagery, the really ingenious metaphors. The storyline was fabulous. I love your character build-up. I love the intensity of the read. I love how you just kind of went all through it. And I really, really enjoyed listening to you read because that intensifies the entire build-up, and then the laughter. And you just bring us home every time. And I really do enjoy all of that. Thank you for sharing that with us.
I appreciate
that. Was awesome.
I appreciate that, my dear. I'll laugh one of these days to you.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
And if you see yours, Sweet, take us away.
Okay, so this is Carney. Funhouse distortions morph dysfunction from her cries. Smoke and mirrors play tricks and told her lies. Master of alibis and veneer smiles cut into ebony ties. Skin soft and pure, eyes dreamy and brown. Hair of fire and gentle waves cascades down. Satan's fingers flicked with flame, this beauty he would tame. Conversational wizard, he draws a crowd, cooing softly to an angel earthbound. In life, do not strive to ride the mundane. Enjoy sticky cotton candy smiles and sugar rush tears. Watch stars fall from blue metallic skies. Hear the chit-chat chatter in crimson shades of rose. Diamonds and charcoal shine behind enemy lines. Don't tread in the darkness, stay in the daylight. so that I may harm you. Cherry red flames create catastrophic pain. Tick-tock goes the clock, forever bound in amber waves, to the beat of midway carnival music driving her insane. A bright and lovely girl no one sees, controlled by her puppet strings. End poem.
See, this is why nobody should read your poems but you, because, like, there's that warm, sweet voice, when it's read in darkness, that contrast is just, like, mind-blowing. And then listening to you as you read, like conversational wizard, he draws a crowd cooing softly to an angel, earthbound. A life, do not strive to ride the mundane. But I love the middle there, cooing softly to an angel, earthbound. There's such sadness that oozes from me at the thought of an earthbound angel. Like, to have wings but not be able to fly is such a sad thought. So that was kind of brilliant there. And then at the end, tick-tock goes the clock, forever bound in amber ways, to the of midday carnival music, driving her insane. A bright and lovely girl, no one sees, controlled by her puppet strings. I think that you did awesome with this, and the clock in the background, bringing in that tick-tock, another brilliant aspect. But like I said, no matter what you write, it's always fantastic and always 10 times better the minute you put your voice to it. Awesome stuff, sweet.
Thank you.
Hatman.
I agree. Nobody should be reading sweets but her. It's almost like you're following along, you're picking up the storyline, the rhyme flow, and then it's like, oh yeah, that's perfect. Wait a minute, what? She always throws that little thing at the end. Yeah, she wasn't insane for the carnival music. Yeah. Incredible. There's her smile.
Thank you.
Oops. Sorry. And Frank, what did you think?
Well, I have to echo the sentiment chair of what you said about the sweet voice. It lends to a... There's a sense of cadence in her voice there when, you know, she writes and reads any genre, but in particular this type of genre here, I think it suits her well. I think this poem in itself was, for me, a haunting reflection of a marionette and the reality of the sideshow and circus. But I also love the narrative. I think all of us can relate to this character here, and being seen and shunned and ridiculed, and just this whole element here that expressed here, of that last line, a bright and lovely girl no one sees, controlled by her puppet strings. You know, it's a metaphor, but in itself, all of us have felt at one period in our life like this marionette here, like Connie, and it's haunting, but it is real, and it's something we have to assume many others have felt as well. So I commend you, Sweet, for adding that line there, because it does make her, it humanizes her.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Awesome comment for our mesmerizing Sweet. Linda, what did you think?
Well, I thought it was extremely sinister. It was like a carnival that she created to make this poem pop with fear and loathing. It had great imagery, and fabulous metaphors, which engage us in this masterpiece of fear. I really liked it. You knocked it out of the park. I'm just going to say it was just a sinister piece of work. Great job, Sweet Pea.
Thank you.
Oh,
glad you caught the sinister.
Paul Wayne, is that you?
Yes, that's me.
Hey,
Wayne.
Hey, buddy. That was a lovely poem, Marissa Sweet. I enjoyed it a lot. Good
Thanks.
Job.
Thank you.
I'm looking on your comment right now. So.
Ah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. I've got to run my friend.
Okay, well.
Thank you, Frank.
Take care, my friend.
I appreciate you calling, and we will see you tomorrow for your showcase show. Just make sure you rest your voice because a lot of people are bringing their favorites to make the read for them. So.
I'll be definitely prepared.
Be prepared.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
Buenas noches. Take care, my
friend.
Take care, my friends.
My Frank.
Take care.
My Frank.
Take care, my friends.
You too. Okay, now, even though I wasn't sure what happened, Wayne, I didn't see any notes. I thought maybe you got one of your headaches and had to leave, so I got Frank to read for you. But nonetheless, it's never the same to hear somebody's poem read by someone else. So I'm going back on the page here to find it so that you can read for us. And then we will have Bill's recording, and Heavenly Angel's Peace Needs a Reader, and we will be done for the night. So if you wouldn't mind, Wayne, show us what you got.
I'll be glad to. Now, tomorrow night, Frank's show is going to be fun. I got a tribute to him that I wrote and put the music, and I think everybody's going to like that tomorrow night. So I can't wait till that.
Wow.
But this is called Puppet on a String. I wrote a sonnet, and I put all 18 words in 12 lines, basically, because the first two lines is the quote. And then it came out of everything all right, but there's 10 syllables per line, all 18 words, and it's a form of sonic. And here you read like this. I'll be wonderful, do just what I'm told. I'll do anything for you till I'm sold. But I'm not the one with fingertips. The words you hear do not come from my lips. I am an ornament doing a dance. Eggshells braided hair, looks good at a glance. Made with wood and plastic, I'll never rust. With dimples and laughing, you should not trust. Boss has cobalt eyes and a bronze top hat in a purple hue, wears name tag with nut mat. Dance on sycamore floors while he just sat, wore crimson outfit, looked a little flat, looked a little fat. Make him some green, I'm his marinetta, my cheeks are opal, never get sweaty. So that's the end. I wasn't prepared to read that was too quick. But
It's always, like I said, it's always so much more awesome to hear the poem read by the poet because that's who knows where the inflection should be and where the emphasis on what seems more important to the writer and stuff like that. So I'm glad you were able to call back and read that for us. Sweet, you want to give Wayne a comment?
Well, I love how you literally personified the puppet. And you made sure that everybody knows what the master looked like and what the puppet was about, that the words weren't coming out of the puppet's mouth, that the puppet did made sure that, hey, this isn't what I'm saying. This is what the dude up there is saying. And if you're going to listen to it, make sure you know that it wasn't me. Make sure he's making the moves, not me. This isn't what I would sing or dance. That's what he wants to sing and dance. So all of this stuff. I really like how you did that, making it a very clear division, and I thought it was great that you did that and the way you laid out the scene, very detailed. I really loved how you did all of that. It was a great poem, Wayne.
Thank you, sweet.
And Linda, will you comment for Wayne?
I sure will. Wayne, that was really well done. You had very colorful imagery in this. And it brought out the calamity of the puppet's life. But here you absolutely brought him to life, released the strings that bound him. But a great, fantastic write from a very gifted poet. Your poetry is coming along by just leaps and bounds. And every week you just tend to impress me a little bit more. This piece was no doubt a very fine piece. So thank you for sharing it, Wayne.
Thank you, Linda. Appreciate the comment. Hate to miss tonight. My team got beat tonight, too, pretty bad, so I'm kind of upset. So it's part of life. You're here to there.
We know you're always there when you can be, Wayne. That's why we get worried thinking something might be wrong.
No.
But,
I left you a note, but I just couldn't. It wasn't very long. I left you a note, but I had to run. But anyway, I'm back here tonight anyway.
Usually when I don't see the note, somebody tells me, but I just didn't see it. but it's okay. I didn't mind hearing it twice. It's all good. Now, we've been trying to do them boy, girl, boy, girl. So here's where we're at. I'm going to see if Sweet will read for Heavenly Angel, and then we will play Phil's recording, and that'll finish up my list. So, Sweet, would you mind?
Cool.
Not a problem. Oh, I like her puppet. Puppet Master by Heavenly Angel. He preys upon the innocent, laughing demonically as he takes us one by one. Puppet Master. I was but a child with copper curls, cornflower blue eyes, flecks of cypress that held a child's innocence, dimples and cherry red cheeks with porcelain bisque complexion. I, along with many others, painted like handmade puppets in shades of khaki, bone, onyx, topaz, and all colors of his wild imagination, then stuffed into darkened basement until used for his evil pleasures. Darkness, cold, barren, alone, and hidden away so no one can see. Imprisoned, painted as master's art. We all have plastic name tags bearing the name his evil mind sat composing when he took us. Innocence lost, nothing more than an empty shell, a shadow cast deep within my being. I am tired, weary. I haven't a hope left. Despair and hate deeply buried inside me. I have lost the fight, left to wonder if I am completely insane. Just let me close my eyes, give into the night. I'm simply a pawn in this vicious game. This blind dark seems to be getting into my heart, hidden deep within the spaces of this confinement. A wrinkle in the clothing of time, fragmented illusions befall my mind. A creature of my fate, hissed to mold and to command. Hell. No allowances for sound hide the numbing pain. Crumbling will shake loose this binding, cut it, braided strand by silence gained. My death. End poem.
Yeah.
Awesome read. Thanks, Sweet. And wow, Angel. My goodness. Oh, well, for one thing, I see that she won a silver medal for this already. That's fantastic. It's easy to see why. Amazing details. I was but a child with copper curls, cornflower blue eyes with flecks of cypress that held a child's innocence, dimples of cherry red cheeks with porcelain bisque complexion. I, along with many others, painted like handmade puppets. Oh, boy, we're imprisoned, painted as master's art. Innocence lost, nothing more than an empty shell, a shadow's cast deep within my being. So sad. A creature of my fate, his to mold and to command. Hell. Like, damn. This is like tiptoeing all through the darkness and pulling us in with us. And then you adding your voice to it was awesome. I had no idea whether it was going to be something where the puppet loved the master or something, but she brought dark, so I'm really glad I got you to read. Excellent piece. Congrats on that silver. Well deserved. And I very much appreciate you writing for the show. Sweet. What did you think?
I see this as very, very dark, and unfortunately, as a child that was molested myself, this is what I see. I see a child that was a puppet to a very dark master, and that this is somebody that's still in that box, and it's very hard to get rid of that shadow, and you bury that very deep, and this is what I see this as. I see that child as being that evil puppet, that master who has hurt her, and you just want to give in, and you're a pawn in that vicious game, and and you know that you sent it to other children, and I took this very deep, and I, you know, obviously I'm reading it from a very, very different perspective, but I just really felt that hidden deep within the spaces of this confinement, a wrinkle in the clothing of time, fragmented illusions befall my mind. A creature of my fate is to mold and command hell. I just, it's just very, very strong for me. And wow is all I can say. Wow.
Awesome comment, sweet. Hatter.
Yeah, the freedom to a puppet would be to be set free, even if it's their own death. If you look at the picture, you can see the ligature marks on her neck, her shoulder, and her elbow, and then some of the lines that have been cut already. So the look on her, in the eyes, she does, oh, my point is she does well in the darkness writing to this photo or this picture. It is very dark. I thought she did well, and then upon her death, was to be set free. Just at the thought of little ones having to live this way, or be under a master, somebody controlling them this way, just is so dark and disturbing. But the poem itself is well written. That's an eerie picture.
Yeah, great comment, Robin. And Linda.
Yeah, you know, Angel, I thought this was brilliant. I love the dark imagery. It left me feeling trapped. And the flow was nicely orchestrated as well. You've shown me the dark side where the only way out is death. But this piece was, I can see why she won a silver for this. Probably should have gotten gold. I can probably say that for a fact. Angel always writes such really deep, sharp-edged pieces, and this is, you know, no exception. I just loved the way that she described the feeling of being a puppet. Just an extravagant piece. Angel, you did well. Thank you for sharing it.
Awesome comment. Okay, now, if you look on the chat wall, under Phil's link, you can see the puppet that he chose and wrote to. And if you click on his poem, I'll push his recording.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called He Who Pulls the Strings. He who pulls the strings controls the government. All set up like a square and compass ornament. One pull from the fingertips, the bone begins to click. The rebellious marionette learns to bite the bit. Rules written on a copper-stained catacomb. Chant of a cheerleader seals the world's doom. Occultic symbol transparent through an onyx crossbeam. Torn denim becomes part of the sycamore dream. Believe what you're told. The lies are subtle shade of brown. A sinister laugh from the stranger in the tangerine gown. Menacing stare of velvet eyes penetrating his psyche. Fooling mankind in thinking that he's almighty. Chessboard pattern crafted from a cedar of Lebanon. Pieces marching in the spotlights of the forgotten. Digits weaving words for their minions to follow. Look very closely, they're not human. Only hollow. Dare to think for yourself and what you have become. Thinking your little Jack Horner pulling out a plum. Don't you wish the wood would splinter into two? Piercing his heart with topaz covered morning dew. How wonderful it is to feel the burden fall. Time to stand up strong, no time to crawl. Finally the puppet master breathes his last breath. Circumcised strings disintegrate into a fiery death. End poem.
Wow. Okay, for starters, I know I've said it before, but I really love Bill's voice. Man, oh, man. Okay. So many pieces, I don't even know which one to choose. Rules written on a copper-stained catacomb. Chant of a cheerleader seals the world's doom. Occultic symbols transparent through an onyx crossbeam. Torn denim becomes part of the sycamore dream. Brilliant word in there. There was something that really struck me, though. Okay, here we go. Dare to think to yourself of what you have become, thinking you're little Jack Horner pulling out a plum. Don't you wish the wood would splinter into two, piercing his heart with topaz-covered morning dew? I love that he stuck in Jack Horner with that plum. And the thought of the puppet wishing for it to splinter and pierce or impale him to set him free. This is really dark. I think that you did brilliant, Phil. I so appreciate the recordings and getting to hear your read. Keep them coming because they're a highlight of the show. Great use of the word bank, great story, great creepiness. I think you did fantastic with this one. So you always do. Let me get you some more comments. Hatter?
Yeah, the metaphors Phil uses is always great. I love the long line rhyme, and he tends to cater to that through his work. I like the chessboard pattern crafted from the Cedar of Lebanon, pieces matching in the spotlights of the forgotten. Lines like that throughout the piece just really makes it tasty. Very well done. I didn't see the picture. Did you put the picture that he grabbed?
I put it on the chat wall right underneath the link, so you'll see the one that he chose, yeah. I usually try to add it on a comment line so that other people can see it too, but yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet, what did you think?
I am really, you came to line, and it kind of, I got struck by that line, and I'm still kind of just stuck there, and it just keeps playing over and over in my head, and that is, look very closely, they're not human, only hollow. And I just wow. How many individuals do I know like that? How many people do I know? Am I like that to people? I mean, wow. Look very closely. They're not human, only hollow. And there are so many people that go day to day in their lives that really are just on that, I'm puppet, 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 do this, do that, do that. And they don't really stop and be human. They don't feel, they don't think, they don't stop to be anything but those puppets. I have to do this. I clock into work. I do this. I do that. Do they even care? Are they hollow? I really love that line.
Awesome comment. And sure, sweet. Go ahead and do that, and then we'll close out.
Okay, I wrote
like
it a little. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Did I not ask you, Linda? I couldn't remember. If I didn't,
no,
please,
I mean,
go
after she's done. No, after she's done, I wanted to make a comment as well.
No, comment. I'm going to read a random poem I wrote. I wanted Hatter and Deb to read here.
Oh, yeah. I would like to make a comment on Phil's piece.
Yeah, please.
May
go
I?
Ahead.
Yes.
I think Phil is brilliant. Number one, and this is a dark step to the depths of fear in our lives and what's to come. This is very well written, and I love verse 5. Dare to think of yourselves, of what you've become, thinking you're little Jack Horner pulling out a plum. Don't you wish the wood would splinter into two, piercing its heart with topaz covering morning dew? I think that's just brilliant. It's very well put. And I think he wrote this with perspective, and it has a nice comeback at the end. And I am so in awe of his ability as a poet. He is just, and everything I read of his gets better and better. So thank you once again, Phil, for sharing this. Thank you.
It was great point. It was a great point.
You can comment too if you want, Wayne.
Well, I just said it was deep and dark, and Phil is speaking like a harbinger. We're all just mere puppets, and the force of evil has us under its control. And then the puppet master takes his final breath and dies, and he gives us all hope again, saying, "Breath, telling us to stand tall, and this is no time to crawl." And so it's more of a freedom poem to me, where they find the strings are broken and severed, and we're now we're free again. And I thought it was a great poem, great philosophical poem.
Awesome comment. So we are going to get a treat and hear Sweet read one more time before we go home. So Sweet, take us away.
Hey.
Yeah, this is just a random poem I wrote, and I wanted Hatter and Deb to hear. So I'm sorry for everybody else.
There's no link.
I just put it on the board.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is Never Loved a Girl Named Sweet. Because I'm trying to write in rhyme. So this is kind of a teaching poem. Because I missed a rhyme on two lines. So, on cool white cotton sheets, our bodies melted in the southern heat. In shades of sapphire and magenta hues, his kiss set fire to me, his muse. Emerald eyes smoldered in vivid lust. Tongues licked lips as hunger struck. Hands explore skin from cheeks to toes, gently as the blue stream flows. Sounds of thunder in silent skies, rising to meet his rhythmic glide. Stars burst in kaleidoscope view, falling wish for a second round. Fingers slide and twist through lover's hair, as she sleeps on his chest bare. Sunshine peeks into her room, she reaches for her lover's hand. She takes a moment to understand he was a dream on repeat. He never loved a girl named Sweet. End poem.
Oh,
that was amazing.
Great.
Has an internal rhyme and Dibs vocabulary.
Well, man, the last couplet kills me there. She takes a moment to understand he was a dream on repeat. He never loved a girl named Sweet. Well, Sweet, you got so much love here that who needs them? But wow.
That's right.
Emerald eyes smolder in vivid lust. Tongue licked lips as hunger struck. Hands explore skin from cheek to toes, gently as the blue stream flows. You got some awesome lyrical rhyme and flow here. Now I see why you wanted Hatter to read it or hear it. And the words, starburst in kaleidoscope view, falling, wish for a second round. I think that this is awesome, and I'm glad that you asked to bring it and read it. My, oh my, that there's a, it pulls out sorrow, and it pulls out, it's making me want to reach into the phone and give you a big hug. Powerful stuff.
Thanks.
Hatter.
What?
Yeah, I've been asked before about my rhyming. Bottom line, I would say never settle. Well, how much time you put into a piece, make sure it's the amount of time you wish it to be, because you don't settle with rhyme. This is an excellent piece together. It's not easy to create a rhyming masterpiece, for lack of a better word. But it's all the time you put in it. Don't settle. If it's not ready, then it's not ready. That's
right.
The only bad thing. The only bad thing about prompts and contests is that you have a time limit to get it in. That's not. You have to weigh that out. I hate seeing people push for time until they force it in the rhymes. This is excellent.
Thanks.
I just woke up so by our.
Well, it's one I worked on for a while and revamped a few times, so I was just wondering.
Yeah.
Because I didn't hit every stanza with a rhyme, so.
Right, I saw
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but it had the feel anyway, I think.
As long as it doesn't trip, as long as you don't, the reader doesn't trip over it, it's fine.
Yeah,
okay.
And it was real, the flow was like spot on.
Okay.
And you can do that. You do it better with a long line rhyming scheme than you can the shorter ones. Shorter ones is going to show up. It's going to be you're going to hear it a lot more. So if you do break out
okay.
of the rhyme, it's just a long line. It's it works better. I think.
Okay.
Stay in school.
I am in school. I'm doing what I can. All right. Cool. Thank you.
Wayne, you want to comment for Sweet?
Yes, I could see. I could see how you why you wanted the two of them to hear it. You had the magic of the internal rhyme that the Hatter usually has, and then you had the vocabulary of Debbie, her great vocabulary and her colorful words. So kind of put them both together. You had a great poem come out here. It was a wonderful tribute and a great poem. I liked it a lot.
Thank you. Thank you, Hatter. I'm waiting.
You know, I think add one more thing. As far as being a poet, you try to keep one that you're building all the time on, that you're
okay.
working on all the time. You know, I think it keeps the juices flowing more. You'll end up. I one of the rules that I when people ask if I can help them in any way, one of the rules is. Don't post it the day you write it, or give some time between, and then reread it again, because you're going to find something you didn't see before, guaranteed, that you want to fix.
Oh, yeah.
And the people that are going to come read your stuff are probably the ones that you're going to want to impress the most. They're not going to come back and read it after you fix it. So make sure it's ready. And like I said, the prompts and the contests are different. That's a different animal. Those are good to keep you mechanically going. So everything you have all.
So my Master Wonderland poem that I've been writing for like a year that no one's seen. That's a good one.
Oh, okay. If I know. Yeah. I spent over 14 months on The Crow because I knew it wasn't ready, and I kept. So I spent, and I didn't work on it every day. I would break it out.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm working on a Wonderland sonnet, which is insane. So.
A sonnet.
Yeah. I don't do sonnets.
Well, sounds to me like if you're working on one, you do.
Well, I don't do them well, so this is my
fair. I don't believe that. Linda, did you want to comment for Sweet?
Yeah. You know, Sweet, that was really nice. It kind of came out of the blue, but what a lovely piece of art. It was like you wove this, as an artist would weave a brilliant, you know, piece of carpentry or wall hanging. It's like of light. It was beautifully written. And, you know, as far as the rhyme, you know, rhymes come in many different fashions. And, you know, you got to pick yours. And I think you did a really good job on this. And, you know, I agree with Hatter about, you know, looking at your work a couple of times before you post it. Because I like to read mine to my husband, and I always find places where there's a glitch, and then I have to go back and rewrite the verse or rewrite the line. But if you read it out loud to somebody, especially, you'll get more out of it as far as trying to read it quietly to yourself. Reading it out loud to another person, you'll pick up on the nuances of little mistakes and little glitches in the rhyme. But, you know, always reread your poems at least once or twice before you post them. I have a piece I worked on for 27 years, and it is beyond amazing. But, you know, it took 27 years to get it that way. And, you know, soon I'll have a book that hopefully everybody will read and think is really cool. But, yeah, it takes a lot of time to get something right. And but really, when you're just posting for, like, I know when we're writing, we have a week to do a prompt writing, you know, and we don't have much time to work it out. At least reread it and try to read it out loud to somebody. And then you'll get the glitches in it. But that piece was lovely. Thank you so much for sharing it.
Thank you. I appreciate everybody's giving me their advice and helped me through it. I really, really appreciate it.
Awesome, awesome. All right, so remember that tomorrow night we have the Showcase Show featuring Poetic Picasso, also known as Frank. I'm expecting lots of maniacal laughter, so be there or be square. You can write a poem for him, or you can choose your favorite poem that he wrote and have him read, which a lot of us are doing because we like listening to him read, so the board's filling up, and we're going to wear out his voice. And Sweet, did you want to tell us what's up for Thursday?
Thursday night is I wrote to a quote. I have several quotes posted on my topic board, and hopefully one will move you, and you will write to that quote. A couple of my favorites are when a door closes, open it. It's a door. That's how it works. That's one of my favorites. And my other favorite is... you are not a drop in the ocean. You are the whole ocean in a drop. So those are just a couple of the quotes that are on the board. There's a couple of really great ones. So look at the quotes, and I wrote to a quote is the theme of Thursday night show. So hopefully you will enjoy those and jump on and write to a quote.
There's so many good ones. It's hard to pick which one to write to. I've been driving myself nuts trying to figure out which one to choose. But anyway... fabulous poetry by amazing people, as usual. Heather, thank you so much, Deb, for always being there. And I want to say thank you to Stephen and Kay and Linda and Lady A and Wayne and Frank and my sweet. And I want to thank Angel for the poem. And I want to thank Phil for the sound clip. And I appreciate you all more than you know, and I hope you realize how brilliant you are and how much I appreciate getting to spend time with you week after week and night after night. And I am going to take us out of here the same way we started, with puppets. Love and respect.
Great show, yeah.
I had fun. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Hatter.
Very
good. Love and respect. Thanks, Deb. Thanks, Linda. Night.
Good night.